Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. It's me, Simon, and I'm with Dale.
Hello, it's me, Dale.
And that's it, because we are running on empty this week.
Yeah.
Little peek behind the curtain, it is Tuesday we're recording this, because that's the only day we can record this week, because me and Dale are on a plane tomorrow for the rest of the week, and Joe is currently in Las Vegas.
He's a dice.
He is.
Yeah.
Lucky boy. And Al is sadly at home not feeling well. So we wish him all the best. But by the time you listen to this, hopefully he should be okay.
I mean, I hope so. Otherwise, that's a 3-day sickness he's got going on.
You don't
on
want
there.
That, do you?
No, not at all. But this is weird, Simon. I've never done a one-on-one before. And so the audience knows we're looking directly into each other's face.
It's like an interview, isn't it?
It's very weird. Hopefully we won't be like this forever. Hopefully when we get some more people in, then we'll be good.
Yeah, well, this Friday's mad because there's four big games coming out. There's Crackdown 3, Jump Force, Far Cry New Dawn, and Metro Exodus.
That's right.
We're not going to talk about any of those because we haven't really played either of those, any four of those yet.
No, I've sort of skirted around playing Metro and Far Cry at several preview events, but I've never actually done it. So, none of them.
Which one of those out of the four do you think you will
Far Cry, definitely, just because I'm a massive Far Cry nerd. Even though it's another one and another year, I feel like we should maybe have a break from them a little bit, but I still can't help but be a little bit excited.
Will give Far Cry a go, and I'm intrigued just to give Crackdown a little go, just to see what it is.
So I've never played a Crackdown
Neither
game.
Have I.
Oh, okay.
But I like destruction.
Yes. You going to play Jump Force?
No.
No.
I'm not a fighting game person, and I'm not into the old anime.
Yeah, so fighting game is not the reason I'm not playing.
Doesn't tip my boxes, really. Yeah. And Metro, it's not for me, sadly.
I mean, the thing is, Metro and Far Cry, obviously they look visually very different, but thematically, they're kind of the same sort of vibe, really. Like, there's only so many post-apocalyptic shooters you can play in one year, and I don't think I'm going to play two at the same time.
But one thing we both have done is this weekend watch the now BAFTA-winning best film, Roma.
Yeah, and Oscar-nominated best picture as well. Yeah,
probably likely to win it as well.
Which seems mad to
Does
me.
Well, as you may have guessed, I like it a lot more than Dale.
I mean, I don't dislike it by any stretch. I thought it was a really powerful film. It was really engaging, and I thought, affecting as well. Like, afterwards, I was really thinking about it quite a lot, about how dark and horrible it got towards the end.
Oh, it's a real... Yeah, it's not really a fun film, but it's a beautiful film. I think it's definitely the best shot film I've seen this week.
Did you, I thought... I agree, in principle. I think it's really visually stunning. But did you kind of get sick of the pans, the back of the corner of the room pans?
No, I like that. Am I notorious for liking slow films?
No.
I like to think I am.
I mean, you like There Will Be Blood, and that's kind of a slow film.
I like, that it is my sort of film where it's just, you know, so if you don't know what it's about an indigenous Mexican woman who is a living maid with a middle-class family in Mexico City. And I think the area of the city is called Roma. That's why it's called Roma.
I didn't know that.
There you go. I might be wrong. I might be lying. But and it's just about basically a year of this woman's life. Yeah. And I'd say the ups and downs. It's mainly downs that she has. But
I think the start, the first 20 minutes is the ups. It is like how like her life, like obviously she is like a maid for them and she's like she lives with them and she does all the work 24/7, and that may not seem like massively desirable. She's still like, there's a lot of positives in her life and she seems to love the family and the family love her as well.
It's almost like a really downbeat Mary Poppins if you think about it, and it's kind of semi-autobiographical. It's a by Alfonso Cuarón, whose last film was Gravity.
Yeah,
it's been 5 years, and he's, I think this is quite a personal film to him, you can probably see why. But yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
So who's it based on then? Is it someone in his family?
His mum.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's semi-autobiographical about his mum.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know how much of her story is shared. But
yeah,
I thought it was, and it's all in, if you didn't know, it's all in Spanish.
Yes.
So it's a reader. So you have to be in the right mood. You can't you can't play Football Manager whilst watching this one.
So as I explained to you, I started watching it on Saturday night quite late, and it got to around midnight and I was feeling really tired. And that is not a film to watch when you're feeling tired, because it's very slow going. So I decided to stop it halfway through and then carry on the next morning, and I found it much easier to watch.
Really? I watched it Saturday afternoon when I was extremely hungover, one of the worst hangovers I had in years. And it did a trick, because I just sat there. Yeah. I didn't leave bed Saturday. I'm not going to lie to you, Dale. I did nothing except watch Roma.
Did you find the opening shot very therapeutic in that situation then?
And there's lots of lovely like beach shots and the waves they were keeping, you know. I didn't feel like throwing up anymore, which was good.
There is some like lovely little mad bits in it though, like bits I really like, sort of, because it's very not traditional I suppose, but like in the way it tells its story, you know, it's very A to B, and then every now and again it just does something a bit crazy, like, you know, when
especially I don't want to spoil. The main character's partner has some mad moments with him.
Absolutely, yeah, he was one I was thinking of. And then there was also, there's that bit when they're in the forest and there's a fire and there's a guy that comes to the front of camera and just does a little bit.
It won't be for everyone. No. I know that. But I really enjoyed it. And I think it's so I hadn't seen that many of the Oscar or BAFTA films this year.
So I was thinking that. I've only seen three, I think, including Bohemian Rhapsody and Black Panther.
Yeah.
The only ones. I really want to see Black Klansman.
I've been catching up. I still haven't seen The Favourite, but I wouldn't be disappointed. Like, I don't care anyway, but if Roma won, I would appreciate that winning. Whereas before, I mean, Hereditary was still the best film I'd seen of the last year, I think. So
I think, I mean, at the three I've seen, I think Bohemian Rhapsody's the top one for me so far. But I, like I said, I very much want to see Black Klansman. I haven't seen The Favourite. Green Book as well, really want to see.
Yeah.
But question about Roma.
Go for it.
Did you think, like, I've never seen a dog that shit so much as that dog. It's obscene, the amount of shit he left in that hallway that they had to clean up.
I've never owned a dog, so I don't know how regularly they do defecate.
I did have a dog, but he was a Jack Russell. So, but obviously they don't have a garden and they can't just let him out into the streets.
Yeah.
So he sort of shits in a hallway where they park their car.
Yeah.
But then the dad of the family, a couple of times, complains about how much shit there is and that they should be cleaning it up.
Yeah.
But I swear, every time we cut that scene, there is at least like 8 to 10 pieces of substantial poo in that hallway.
I don't know what they're feeding the dog.
I just thought it was obscene. And they kept showing shots where the tires would drive over it and it was really like unsatisfying.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was deserving of its BAFTA win. Not that I really care either, like I said. But do you know who else won a BAFTA?
Who?
Mahershala Ali for Green Book, which I've actually seen as well. It's a fine film. It's absolutely fine. He is great in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what he's also great in, though? This season of True Detective, which I am now 3/4 of the way through. I'm caught up.
So would you say it's better than the second season?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not quite the first season, but not many things are, because that was sensational, I think. And I still think the second series of True Detective is okay. It's not terrible, but it's just nowhere near the heights of the first.
So
but
it follows like the first and second way. They're not connected stories, right?
No, in no way. There may be some weird tangents.
So is it
things,
like Fargo but sort of style, where like they're not really connected, but there's elements and you might hear a name that
there might
comes
be a
up.
Detail, but I don't think they're connected at all. And that's what's good, because you can just do separate stories and forget about a shoddy second series. But this one is brilliant. And this last episode had some good reveals, I think. So it's all coming together. Have you ever watched any True Detective?
So I've seen tiny bits of the first season, and that is more. I've always wanted to. It's just one of those ones I've just never got around to.
You should. Yeah. It's only, there are only 8 episodes a series as well. So you can do it quite quickly.
Like, I remember my old housemate telling me how much he loved the first season. And I don't know why I never watched it. I think at the time, I mean, we don't have Sky at home, but I use my dad's Sky Go on my PS4.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a, like, there's some hurdles to get to watch it.
It is one of those things that's hard to get. I have a Now TV pass so I can watch it. But yeah, unless you have Sky Atlantic, you're not going to do it legally, I'll tell you that.
But I will do it legally through my dad's account.
There we go.
But like I said, it's just when we watch Netflix, and we can watch it in bed, whereas Sky has to be in the living room, mate. So this is a little peek behind my curtain there.
You spend a lot of time in bed, do you?
Yeah.
Okay,
about
fair enough.
8 hours a day. What about you?
Less than I should.
Okay.
But yeah. It's very good. I don't know what to say about it.
Was it a slow start? Because I haven't really heard you talk about it up to this point.
It's slow, but as we've previously mentioned, I like slow. So it maybe hasn't revealed as many things as... I feel like the first series went at a quicker pace. You knew things about halfway through, whereas this one's taken about 3 quarters. So it's on episode 6 to get there. But all the acting is brilliant and it's shot.
Who else is in it?
Stephen Dorff.
Oh, okay, really? Yeah. That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, Scoot McNairy.
I have no idea who that is.
He's a good actor. He's not in enough stuff. That's a shame. But yeah, it's a good... So if you don't know, the basis of this series is that 2 children from this town have gone missing.
Right.
And they're trying to work out what's happened, basically. And it's that great thing of that the first series did so well of jumping over different time periods. So it's set during 19, I don't know the exact dates. It's 80s, 1990, and then 2015.
Okay.
So you're getting parts of the story and you're getting it filled in over time, which must be an absolute ball ache to script.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because, yeah, people obviously alive in different points, so you know that nothing's happened to them. And, yeah. But yeah, it's all coming together cleverly.
That's just reminding me of Mystic River.
That's a very good film.
Yeah.
That is a forgotten film.
Yeah. But it was a really good film. It just reminded me of, you know, like the 2 time periods and sort of cutting between the 2. The
missing child and stuff. Yeah. Maybe it's just a copy of that. Lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen a film this week, though, haven't you?
I have.
That I haven't seen.
Yes. I've seen The Hole in the Ground.
I've seen lots of them.
Yeah, well, this is a film, not an actual Hole in the Ground. So it's, I believe it's by the same distributor picked it up as Hereditary. They picked up Hereditary and they picked this up. And that's what got me interested in it in the first place, because Hereditary was a banger.
It was a banger.
Yes. So this one actually comes out on the 1st of March in the UK as well. So everyone can check it out soon.
But flock to your local screen.
Yeah, it's a directorial debut as well. And it's basically about a young family. So actually it's just a mother and a son, and they live in Ireland, and they live kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's like a little town nearby, but they live out in the middle of nowhere. And they find a massive sinkhole in the forest behind their house. And then without going too much into it, they interact with the sinkhole at one point, and then things start to go weird, as in she feels like her son is no longer her son anymore. She feels everything about him, like they say in the film, it's about things that only a mother would notice. And it's things that, like, everybody else can't understand why she's acting weird with her son.
Why are you interacting with a sinkhole?
So they just find it. They stumble across it. And then I don't want to reveal too much about it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really good. It was like, it's 90 minutes, which I think for a horror film
is
what it should be. Like, don't overstay your welcome. I thought the lead actress is called Shauna Kerslake. I'm not sure if it's her featured debut, but she is, like, worth watching the film for, just for her performance alone.
What kind of horror is it? Is it like a tense one, or is it more of a gory one?
So it's absolutely not a gory one. There is a few moments of gore, but nothing overt. I never really found a jump scary. And I was sitting in a screening room next to 2 girls who came there, and you could tell they were talking beforehand. I was listening to them talk, and they were saying, oh, we're ready for jump scares. And they put their coats over them. They looked like they were ready to be scared, right? So you see people like that at screens all the time. But they didn't. I thought they reacted like once or twice. So it's clearly not a jump scary film.
It sounds like, have you seen The Babadook?
Yes.
It sounds a bit like that.
It has elements. So I'd say, like, if I was comparing it to other films, it has elements of Babadook, has elements of Hereditary as well. Very like The Shining in a certain way. It makes sense when you've seen it, kind of thing.
Okay.
But there's a lot of those elements. In fact, there's one bit where there's a subplot, not really a subplot, a thing going, constantly going through the film where she's changing the wallpaper. She's ripping up the wallpaper and adding a new one. And when she adds a new one, the pattern looks very, very similar to all the carpets in The Shining.
That is quite cool.
So there's obviously like a reference there. I thought it was very like tense sort of psychological horror. And I can imagine if you've got a young child or something like that, and you're a young single parent or even just a parent, it would be very like affecting, like to see how you deal with this situation, because I can't say. I don't want to spoil it.
But it's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, it comes out like this month in March. And the ending's a bit wacky. It gets a bit... My first thought was, I really like that. And then I thought the ending probably told me too much. And it was a bit silly towards the end.
Okay.
But I thought the majority of it's really good. And
it gets a thumbs up as Dale's sleeper hit of the month.
Yeah, I'm not sure about sleeper hit, but it's definitely worth watching if you fancy a good horror film.
Good to know. There's something else you've done that I haven't, which involves...
What's that? I've forgotten this
death.
One.
The Hong Kong Massacre.
Right, yeah. So I'm just thinking now, we probably should have researched who created this game. I just realised...
Well, you're the one that's played it, not me.
We kind of just impromptu decided to talk about
this
game.
Well, we're doing it.
Okay, so...
I mean, it needs to be more. Do you like Hotline Miami? You'll like this.
Yeah, well, that's basically it, though. Like, I mean, even there, though, it's a stretch. I think it's not as good as Hotline Miami. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so basically, it's a game...
Came out about 3 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, so it's the same sort of premise as Hotline Miami is, and it's a top-down, like... fast-paced shooter where, you know, all the split decisions count. It's all in, and you get shot immediately if you get spotted. And it's about learning the patterns of the room and coming through the room and trying to perfect that score, really. The thing I think it lacks is the certain elements of charm that Hotline Miami's got. Mm-hmm. Like, you've played Hotline Miami. Right?
I played number one. I never played number two.
So, I mean, number two is basically more of the same. But Hotline Miami is obviously, it's got... for my betting, one of the best soundtracks in a game.
Absolutely.
It's like incredible. It's a soundtrack that outside of the game I'll actually listen to, where there's not many games I can say that about. And it doesn't have that. It doesn't have this sort of, you know, Hotline Miami obviously has the 80s thing attached to it before that was overdone.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very overdone now, but it's lacking any of that. I think it's set in the 90s. It's set in the early 90s, but there's nothing to distinguish. It's not like people walking around in shell suits or listening to Oasis or anything.
That would be funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's called the Hong Kong Massacre. I don't know if they were listening
to
Oasis.
Don't look back in anger as you fail every time.
Yeah. And but so there's no real, like... It feels like the style is like they've gone for John Woo films, action films. It's like what the style they've aimed for. But it never really feels like any of that pulls me in. I'm not playing it because I'm enjoying this music and I'm in a rhythm. It never really creates that. The music's kind of just there, really. But the combat does feel really satisfying in the same way that Hotline Miami does.
Yeah.
And it does also have that. Like, I'd go into a room and I'd kill like seven people in a row and I'd see one coming up. And if I bumbled through that, I'd feel the urge to just restart because I want it to be perfect.
Yeah,
I want to
come
through. Every door is exact. Every shot is exact. Mm-hmm. It's also got this... so if you hit R1, you do like a gamble or a dive, like it's contextual, and that helps you dodge a bullet. So if you feel like you're not going to... like you're going to get hit, you can dodge. And what you find as you get into later in the game is you're spamming that. Like every shot I'm diving with because you can't get shot while you're diving. Unless at the end of the dive, the bullet is coming in your way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm getting it.
So it also has a slowdown mechanic as well. So you can actually slow time down and dodge bullets quite easily.
That is help. That would come in handy if you're dodging bullets.
Yes, but it also impacts, like for me, like Hotline Miami is like a score chase game, right? I'm just trying to tick all the things that it's trying to get me doing. There's a 3-star system in this game. And one of the stars is always don't use any slowdown. Don't use any bullet time.
Well, where's the fun in that?
But that's... because you're trying to perfect it. You're trying to be the best at it.
Everything looks cooler in slow motion.
Yeah, it does, but it does feel like a cheap burn a little bit.
Is it as hard as Hotline Miami?
So I haven't finished it. I'm on, so it goes in days. It's got 4 days, I believe. And I'm on day two, but each day has about 10 missions. So I've done them, and each day has a boss at the end, and the bosses are fucking concrete.
Yeah.
It's really hard. But I'm about halfway through the second day. My thing is, though, I don't leave a level until I've kind of got all 3 stars. I just keep playing that same level because I think if I've memorized it.
You're a perfectionist.
Well, if I've memorized it now, I'm not going to come back to it at a later date and re-memorize it. I think I'm just going to do this one. And also then Apex Legends came out and I was playing Resident Evil. So it kind of got pushed a little bit to the side.
We have been playing a bit more Apex. I got my first win last Friday.
You did sort of get a first win.
What do you mean? I was the champion.
Yeah, on the champion team.
I may have been carried by a guy who got 11 kills, but I did revive him.
It was funny. I was next to you. Watching you watch the guy on your team get the victory for you.
Look, I think you get a bronze trophy for winning, so you're jealous of that, aren't you?
Yeah, well, do you remember yesterday, though, when we played it?
Yeah, you almost won.
I got to the final two, and I was just, like, shitting my pants, and you and Elle were both watching my gameplay, and I downed a guy.
And there was
one other guy left, and instead of just leaving the guy and trying to get the other one, I decided to do the finishing move.
And got killed, which was, I mean, I would have imagined that was what you were going to do anyway, so I wasn't that disappointed. Because
what are you saying?
Because you'd obviously go for the stylish finisher.
Yeah, right.
You go for the kill. You don't care about the knockdowns.
I know. I really, like, the amount of times I've played that back in my mind now, thinking, why didn't I just back around the corner? I let the other guy try and shoot him while he's down, and I could have snuck behind, but I blew it.
Oh, well.
There'll be plenty of other opportunities, though. We're going to do it.
Wishes sometimes come true, and sometimes they come true via a genie. That was terrible.
That's really bad. We'll try again.
People have been not too happy about Will Smith as the genie.
I mean, I don't know why people are upset about it.
It does look odd, though. I just think it looks weird to get on the back of something like this, but it does look weird.
It looks weird, but I find it funny because it's so weird looking. And like,
I thought that whole teaser trailer was a bit. I don't have too high hopes for this one. Aladdin's not one of my beloved Disney films anyway. Right. So I never really watched that much as a kid.
So Aladdin was for my generation, like that and The Lion King, and then maybe even like Toy Story and stuff. I feel like were the ones that, and Beauty and the Beast, actually. Yeah, late 80s, early 90s was my period. So Aladdin, I do have fond memories of. And anytime I hear bits of the score and the music creeping in, it does sort of swell something.
I'm sure the songs will be good, but I'm just, I don't know why. I just don't have a good feeling about this one.
Are they even going to have the songs, though?
Like, yeah, I think so.
No, but so, for example, The Jungle Book, it had like one song in it. It didn't have all the songs.
I think they've got to have a, like, you can't have a Aladdin.
What did Beauty and the Beast? Beauty and the Beast had a couple.
It did have quite a few, I think. Beauty and the Beast, one of my favourites when I was a kid, but I've seen bits of the remake, the live action one, but I'm just,
I don't
really have much interest in watching them, to be honest.
From what I remember, we spoke around a podcast, actually, me, Cooper and Gav, and I remember, I feel like one of our major complaints was that it was too beat for beat, the same sort of film. Like, they didn't really change much up.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, at least in the Jungle Book, it felt like certain elements had changed it up a bit. I'm still, like, The Lion King is the one that excites me.
Yeah, well, we're going to go through this because we haven't really covered this properly, but this is Disney's maddest year ever, I think.
Yeah.
They've got 9, maybe 10... I'm only joking about the 10th here, that could make like $1 billion if you care about money.
Yeah.
Maybe 8. Maybe I'm overdoing it here. But let's go on.
Read them out to me.
Out this Friday, Dale, the big one to kick things off, the Kim Possible live action movie.
I mean, I don't know much about that, I'm afraid, but I'm sure it's a big hit for the kids.
Yeah, that's the joke.
Is that $1 billion? Yeah.
Yeah. But no, we've got Captain Marvel in less than a month.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's a $1 billion movie either.
I mean,
how many Marvel films have really been, apart from take the Avengers ones?
Black Panther. I think that Black Panther could have, Captain Marvel could have a similar effect to Black Panther.
I don't feel like there's a massive buzz right now about Captain Marvel. I'm not sure. Maybe
I feel like there is.
Maybe it'll approach. Maybe I'm just, that's not in my bubble. Or maybe it'll approach closer we get. But I'm not feeling it.
Really,
right now.
I feel like it's going to do very well. And then off that, you've got Dumbo. Which does, I actually have higher hopes of Dumbo than I do Aladdin. I actually loved Dumbo when I was a kid. So
that's a weird one. So when was the original Dumbo made? Like, that's like 50s or 40s or
it's
something.
It's a long time ago.
I have no idea. Someone's going to write in and correct me on that. But it feels like, who are the people that have got attachment to that? But like you said, you
Tim
watched
Burton.
It as a kid.
Oh, sorry, who's got attachment? Tim Burton's got attachment, he's directing.
But I could understand, like, certain kids watching, certain generations of kids wanting to see their, like, childhood, like, reimagined.
And this one does look, I think they're doing a slightly different take on Dumbo with this one. Joe did an excellent little feature about Dumbo on site.
He did, yeah. And Danny DeVito's in it, so I want to watch it.
Yeah. And Michael Keaton and Colin Farrell. It's a good cast.
It's a good cast, yeah.
But after Dumbo, you've, of course, got Avengers Endgame.
I mean, that's an easy billion.
Easy billion.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
I might see that one a couple of times.
Yeah.
It'll be good. Then you've got Aladdin.
See, even though, like,
people love
are saying it, people are talking about it quite a lot.
People will see it.
Yeah.
I think it'll
make
money.
I think it'll do really
well. Then Toy Story 4 will obviously make a lot of money because it's Toy Story and Toy Story is the best.
I think they've been really clever on anything they've released so far. They've been so, like, there's barely any information.
I'm not even sure if anything we've seen is in the film.
Yeah.
So
I'm intrigued with that one. I think that could easily be a big success.
Then The Lion King. That's easily going to make a lot of money.
I would
money.
Hazard a guess, outside of the Marvel and Star Wars, that might be their biggest one.
Well, that's what I was going to say after we've gone through all these. Which one do you think is going to make the most? So you've got Toy Story, you've got Lion King. Then, my voice is going. Then you've got a little bit one that's less big. You've got Artemis Fowl, which kids of a certain, my sort of age, maybe a little bit younger.
Yeah.
I've read the first couple of those books, which were pretty good. But yeah, it's not going to have, it's not, they're probably hoping it might be a Harry Potter, I think. It's going to be more like...
How many of them have we seen come and go as well? Like kids' books, like the Northern young Lights teens' ones, books that have sort of been turned into films that don't work.
I thought that first trailer was bad.
I mean, I watched it. I remember for IGN, I had to... I think I was publishing the video and I could not tell you a single thing that happened.
It was bizarre because if my memory serves me right, they used a Radiohead track off their latest album, which is a bizarre choice for a kids' film. Like, it set a weird tone for that film.
That is weird. Did you see, by the way, before you watched Roma, did you watch the trailer for it?
Yeah.
You got a lovely bit of Great Gig in the Sky by Pink Floyd on that trailer. That sold me on watching Roma. I was
not
like,
in the film, though,
no,
is
not
it?
In the film, no.
Just listen to the album. That's a good album, that one, Del.
Some might say the best album.
Oh, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Then Frozen 2. People like Frozen, don't they?
Absolutely. Like, I've got three young nieces. I'm telling you right now, that is a stone cold banger. As in, like, in regards to how much money it makes, not how good the film is.
It's, and just the merchandising alone from that will be mad.
They will rake it in.
I think that's late November.
Disney
are having
a ludicrous year, aren't they?
Yeah. And then December, Star Wars Episode 9,
another banker.
Will also probably make a lot of money, you'd imagine. I don't know which one of those. So, probably the biggest ones is going to be Avengers, Toy Story, Lion King, Frozen, and Star Wars.
I'm very interested with Star Wars to see how big that voice is that's anti Last Jedi and anti Rian Johnson.
Even if you hate The Last Jedi, you are absolutely going to see this.
I mean, I imagine most people, it's all
because you care enough to hate it.
Yes.
So you care enough about Star Wars.
But I would be like, so some people hypothesize that it had a negative impact on Solo. I think that film was kind of dead on arrival just through circumstance of everything that happened.
And was surprisingly good.
Yeah, and was actually really good. But I think people had already made the decision that they weren't going to see that in regards to The Last Jedi. I'm very interested in that. I think Star Wars, in an ideal world, could easily be the biggest, the one that makes the most money, because it is the last episode of a trilogy. Yeah. Is JJ back?
But so Avengers is the last of, like, 25, is it? 22? Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot.
It's tough.
And I mean, if you are the head of Disney right now, you're not going to be poor by Christmas, are you?
But what have they got next year, though?
Like, they've got some mad stuff as well.
What have they got next year? It feels like they're spunking a lot of their films this year.
We're in 2019, Dale, but they've got a lot coming next year as well.
I mean, they don't have a Star Wars film next year, currently, do they?
No, but they do have. There is a ton of stuff which you've put me on the spot and I've forgotten about completely. They might have Star Wars. Who knows? They might.
I mean,
launch something on us.
I feel like they probably don't.
And that doesn't even because there's so much stuff, Dale.
There is a lot.
Some good
of stuff.
Films coming
this
year.
There is. But I think I'm gonna make a outlandish bet and say that let's take Star Wars and Avengers out of occasion, because I feel like they're the certs, right?
You think they're going to be the high? I don't think
they're... Actually, no, maybe Frozen 2.
Yeah, I was leaning towards Frozen 2 bit.
Yeah.
But
I'm gonna
Avengers
are
and
the
Toy
Lion
Story
King.
A lot more time. You're going to go Lion King
I'm
as
go
the highest.
King. Yeah.
I'm going to go Frozen. I'm going to follow the money.
Okay. When does Frozen come out?
November 20-something.
Oh, okay.
Late November.
Mate.
So they've even got more... It's not even just before Christmas. They know what they're doing. There's a whole month run up to
they're
Christmas.
They're
going to
rake it in over that
Kids
period,
are going to see
they?
That yeah. a lot.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen Frozen 1.
I've seen it. It wasn't... I didn't think it was a very good film, but my nieces love it, so...
Yeah.
What do I know?
What do you know? Do you know what I do know? About football managing.
We're back.
It's been a while, and I've had people ask me where it is.
Do you think?
And I'm sorry if you don't like this.
Do you think at the start of this podcast, people are like, Dale and Kylie, fucking brilliant. It's going to be football manager 100% of
the
time.
Well, there is a little bit of it, but you know, some people like it. So I've actually, I don't know how I feel about this, Dale, but I recently abandoned Coventry.
I mean, like a lot of people, mate. A lot of people have abandoned us, but we're on our way back.
So I started, because I realised Football Manager 2019, I haven't, if you didn't know, I'm a massive Spurs fan, and I haven't done a Spurs save yet this year. So I have to always do
You're
one.
Like I said before, you did Blackburn for Krupa, you did Coventry for me. Why didn't you do Arsenal for Al?
I'm doing Spurs myself. I've got to make time for myself.
When are you ever going to do an Arsenal run? I think you should.
Absolutely not. No. No, I
don't
won't.
Don't you respect your boss? Is that what it's about?
I don't respect Arsenal. but I'm in my third season as Spurs.
Okay.
And I finished fourth, third, and now I'm currently 3 points off the top of my third season. I mean, it is easy, right? I'm very much mirroring real life. Yeah. But I've got a five-year plan. Gone in with a five-year plan, much like Wolves have when they've entered the Premier League this season.
Right, okay.
Five-year plan. And I've invested in a lot of youth. So in 2 to 3 years' time, Dale, I will dominate world football.
How young, though? Like 16-year-olds or no, like 18, 19?
19 to 22-year-olds.
Because I noticed on my save, I invest in 16-year-olds. You've got to wait fucking ages for that to pay off.
I bought for $4 million I spent on a 15-year-old German striker called Matthias Lange.
Loaned him.
He's not real, though.
Have you loaned him out?
No, he's in my youth academy. I'm keeping him there for now. But these are all real players I've bought. And yeah, I've done a bit of business. So over the last 2.5 years, I spent 506 million.
Oh my God. How but much
I've sold 375
That's
million.
That's pretty good.
So I've only spent 130 million.
Over which, four seasons? Or
two and a half.
That for Football Manager, not in the real world, but for Football Manager, that's not bad.
I was given 90 million this season.
Mine's like, I've spent like, it's over like 20 odd years, but I've spent like 2 billion and brought in about 400,000 or something.
But here's a list of players I bought, which if you know your European football, would be very exciting names to you, I'm sure.
Okay.
Stars for the future. And you can tell me what you know about these players. Matthijs de Ligt. Or Licht. I don't know how to say his name. Okay. I apologise if you're Dutch.
I do not know him. No.
He is a young central defender currently at Ajax. Probably go to Barcelona or Juventus this summer, there, but he's only 18 or 19, but he's already incredible.
Sounds good. Yeah. How much did you get him for?
I got him for, like, he's very undervalued on Football Manager. I paid like 20 million. Oh, he's going to go for about 60 or 70 million.
Nice. So. That's good business.
I also got Dayot Upamecano. It's a real name. Don't laugh.
It's the way you said it that made me laugh.
He's a young French centre back. He's only like 18 or 19 as well. So I'm investing in them
in
the future.
Are you getting your scouts involved with this, or you just
I know these names.
You don't need your scouts.
No. Currently plays for Leipzig. I got him for 24 million because I was a little bit of a naughty boy, Dale, and I might have done a little bit of tapping up. I kind of put in a bid that I knew wouldn't get accepted, and then I declared interest, and he was like, but I want to move to Spurs, and his manager was getting annoyed of him, so he handed in a transfer
request.
That just
reminded me of a great story I'm going to tell you.
Okay. But yeah, I'm ashamed to say, I've been playing a little bit dirty. Jose Gaya, a Spanish left-back from Valencia, 22. So yeah, building the defence. That's nice, three of my back four there. 22 and younger. Nicolo Barella, a Italian box-to-box midfielder. Who did I buy him from? I've completely forgotten who he plays for. Might be
It doesn't matter.
From Italy. João Felix, Benfica midfielder / attacker.
Wait, are all these 18. Going straight into your first team?
They're all on my bench or in the first team. Yeah. I'm bringing the youth through. Nice. It's a revolution.
Who are you sacrificing for these people?
Players. Like?
Now, who's your biggest sale?
Like? My biggest sale. I sold Lucas Moura actually for 51 million to Real Madrid, which is weird. I sold a 32-year-old Jan Vertonghen to Benfica for 40 million. I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah, idiots.
But yeah, I'm wheeling and dealing.
Yeah.
Also, Federico Chiesa, a young Italian winger who's also incredible. Leon Bailey, a young Jamaican winger who plays in Germany.
See, that's a name I've seen probably on Football Manager. Yeah.
And one more, which. All English fans should be very excited by, and I'm bringing him through to the player he will be,
Jadon Sancho.
Yes, I'm getting him in.
So he's just retired in my game.
Just retired.
Yeah, just
he's like 20 or 21.
I told you I'm playing long game. He just retired, but he won like world's best player like 4 years in a row.
Really,
it's obscene how.
If
good
he does
was.
That for me, I'll be very happy.
Yeah,
but of course I've still got Harry Kane there up front.
Yeah,
so. We're safe. My win percentage is at 53, fine.
Gav's not on this anymore. He's not going to crucify for that.
But I am on 125 grand a week. And that's only my second contract to the club.
It's all right,
it's not bad, is it? But that is only 67,000 after tax. That's almost half my paycheck for tax. What is this government doing with it except nothing? Disgrace. And I also get a $250,000 bonus if I win the Champions League, which I wish I'd actually looked at before today because I went out in the group stage. So I would have put more effort into that.
Okay.
$250,000.
I just want to, like, I'm still playing my game.
How's Donovan doing?
So Donovan update, yeah. So I'm like 2035 now, I think is the year.
Jesus.
Donovan is like 22, so he's in his prime. I loaned him out again after I spoke about him on the podcast, but I gave him his debut match. So his loan ended just before the Champions League final, which I was in.
You gave him his debut in the Champions League?
I gave him his debut in the Champions
Jesus
League final.
Christ.
I wanted to see what the kid had. And do you know what? He didn't do that well. He got a 6 rating, so he didn't
bad.
Yeah. But next season, he sort of... So Sancho was the player that he couldn't get past.
Yeah.
He was my left winger and he was never going to be him. But then he retired and I was like, Donovan, here's your chance, mate. Step up. And he's doing okay. He scores goals here and there. He's getting half decent. He gets a 7s and 8s. He does all right. He recently checked his value. He's up to 40 million. So he's making good progress. However,
are you going to sell your son for 40? Would you sell your son for 40
million?
No,
I'm never going to sell him. I'm never going to sell him. But I feel like if he wasn't called Donovan Driver, he would not be in my first team. I feel like I would
really
be benching him at this point.
So you are, there is a bit of nepotism going on here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But he also recently said to me he wasn't happy with his contract and wanted to renegotiate. And I was like, you cheeky bastard. You're in like the Champions League winning team.
Yeah.
You're 22. I'm giving you all the opportunity in the world and you still want more money.
Has he got any England caps yet? Do you know?
No, he hasn't. No England caps yet. And to be honest, can't see it happening either.
Oh, dear.
But it's ticking over nicely with Donovan. We're gonna see how it goes.
I can't believe his name's Donovan.
Someone tweeted me the other day to get back to Donovan, and I was like, it's Donovan. Donovan, get it right. It just reminded me of a story when you said earlier though. I had a player, I can't remember his name. I think it was whatever. I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
he was a striker. He was like 32, and I was not playing him anymore. And he wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't go anywhere because he said, I'm retiring at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I was like, I just want to get him off my books because he had high wages.
Yeah.
So I went in and there was the offer to say, can you stay on for another season or so?
Mm.
I went in, he's like, no worries, boss. I'll stay on for another year.
And then you just sold him.
And then I sold him immediately and got like 20 million out of him.
Where's your loyalty?
I felt a bit bad about that, but I needed to get someone out of him.
He's a sucker. Yeah. You should have seen that coming.
What a mug.
Yeah.
It brought me great joy.
It's a mug's game sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm hoping isn't a mug's game?
What's that?
Your new quiz.
Oh, quiz time. that's my jingle.
The intro? What's your game?
Right. Okay. So this is... So people wondered, how do you play a game with two people? Don't worry about it.
There's a lot of games you can play with two people.
No, but not on this game, on this podcast. So this was sent in. So I've taken an idea that was sent in and I've adapted it again.
Mm.
So this was sent in by Rob Maunder, and he suggested the film count. Without doing any research on IMDb, can you name films with numbers in their title that count up? No sequels allowed. You win if you can finish 1 to 13. So his was... quite a simple example. It was just a one round thing.
Okay.
So I've changed it up.
You've adapted it.
Yeah. So my name, the game is called Add Your Films Up. 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 So this is the rules. I've tried to make it concise. Hopefully it makes sense. You'll both be assigned a randomly generated number. So I have a random generated number on my phone.
Okay.
So we can do that. You'll have 30 seconds total. I always fuck this up. You'll have 30 seconds to total this number with films only with numbers in the title.
So it's like the countdown numbers round, but with film titles.
Yes, and also no like multiplication, just adding.
Okay, just
so
adding.
Not like dividing times and anything like that. So also some extra rules. No traditionally named sequels. For example, Toy Story 2 isn't allowed, but 28 Weeks Later is. So if it's something
okay.
You have to explain your workings after, and whoever nails it wins. If you both do, whoever did it in the shortest amount wins. And if none of us do, whoever got the closest wins.
Yeah.
Three rounds, and then there is a tiebreaker as well.
Brilliant.
So should we go for this?
Let's go for it. I don't have a pen, so I'm just going to do this off the top of my head.
You sure?
I'm a maverick, Dale.
Okay.
You're going to play jingles. We're not going to let people listen to 30 seconds.
No, I'll play a little jingle so we can come in. Are you sure you don't want a pen?
No, I'm going to do this.
Okay, all right, okay.
I'll probably lose.
So I've got this random number generator. I can set a maximum number. What should I set the maximum number?
I don't know. What's reasonable?
50? Does that feel reasonable?
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's go with 50. Let's see how we get on.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Let's hope it's not one.
Right. And
what are we doing here? Best of three? Best of five? Best of three.
And I'll time it as well. So
we got
30 seconds. So I'm going to randomize it. And the number is 34.
Ooh.
Right?
Okay.
And I'm going to start a timer in a second. This is really good radio, isn't it?
Yep.
Now, go.
Okay.
It's 34. Okay, time's up.
Ooh.
How close did you get?
I think I got it.
Oh, okay. Do you want to go first then?
Yeah, go on then. Well, 28 days later, because you said it. That's 28.
Bollocks, then, I didn't even think of that.
I don't know how people feel about this. I want to do the taking of Pelham 1-2-3 and add 1-2-3 together to get 6.
Ooh, I like
that. Are people counting that as 123 1-2-3?
As well as a competitor, I am also the rule master. And I say, yeah, that's pretty good, fair. I haven't even added this up yet. So it's 26.
It's 400. No.
26. I got to 33 by doing 16 candles, 7 samurais.
You went a long way around it.
3 men and a baby and The Magnificent Seven.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's a lot of good films there.
So Cardi wins round number 1.
I mean, if it says anything, I'd rather watch your collection of films than mine. So. Okay. Although mine aren't bad.
28 days later is pretty good.
Yeah.
And what was your one? Taking a Pelham. I've never seen that.
Taking a Pelham 1-2-3. The originals. I haven't seen the remake.
Okay.
The originals, all right. Yeah.
Right. Round number 2, and let's randomly generate a number again.
Is this a good podcast game? I don't know.
Probably. Well, it would have been better if there was 3 of us.
Play along at home.
Randomize 26.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's start.
I've done it already. Oh, I mean, yeah. Where's the fun here?
I didn't know this is a test. This is
can
a
I
test.
Use what? Are we saying I can't can or can't use films again? That have been said.
Yeah, that's a good rule. You can't use films.
I can't. Okay, well, okay. I haven't done it already then.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
26. Okay, end of that.
What go was for the, it.
Where did you get to?
I got 26.
Did you? You're a master at this game. So I got 30.
Oh, I just remembered once what you said though. So.
Oh no. You got to rethink it. So I got 30, and that's only because I got a zero dark 30.
It's 26 we were going for, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's the only one, the only big number I can think of.
Well, I've got to 23 with the number 23, the film. And then I was going to do 3 Men and a Baby, but then I realised you already did it.
So you were 3 away, but I was 4 away.
I'll go 3 easy pieces.
Caddy, you
won
again.
Is it 5 easy pieces? I can't even remember what the name of the film is now. Brilliant. Yeah. What a game.
This potentially might be the worst one we've done so far. So apologies about that.
But you know, it is fair play for even finding one that would work with just 2 of us.
it's tough, isn't
just literally quizzing me.
I mean, there was another round. I think it's probably not worth it.
We have still got a lot of good quiz ideas in there. So.
But I do want to take this opportunity to say, like, please send them in. Like, we feel we've got some cool ones in there, but we really want to see some new ones coming in.
And just general feedback. We haven't been getting a lot of actual just general feedback.
Yeah,
at the
absolutely.
Moment.
So
it's the address to send it to is IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. Yeah, let us know which Disney film you're looking most forward to this year. Yeah. Let us know what your favourite Disney film was as a kid as well. I think mine was Beauty and the Beast and Toy Story, if we're counting Pixar as well.
Also, with the quizzes, I know we're asking people to send them in, but also let us know if you liked one as well, because we might bring them back again.
Yeah.
Probably Add Your Films Up is probably not going to get a second run.
Maybe not.
But what knob said it could get a second run?
What knob said it might get a second run? Who knows? But yeah, thank you so much for joining us too. We've had a lovely chat here.
It's been
a
bit weird, hasn't it? But it's all right. We had
a good laugh. Do you know, there's not many things I'd rather be doing.
Sorry, I've got sneezes right now.
Oh, God. Are you getting ill now as well?
Yeah.
We're flying tomorrow.
Shit. It's me laying the groundwork for next week.
Yeah, God. Well, I hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah. Sorry.
I know I did. I'm so sorry.
Bye. Sorry.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.